Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Veg Grower Podcast. My name is Richard and I am on a mission to grow all your fruit, vegetables and herbs in my allotment and my garden. And I hope that I'm going to inspire you to do exactly the same. Maybe, like myself, you're going to turn your garden into a lean, mean food producing machine. Now, coming up this week, I've got the latest from the allotment and the latest from the garden, of course. But I've also got a bit of a mailbag edition. I can tell spring is in the air because I'm starting to get a lot more correspondence. Always welcome, of course. But first, let's head out to the garden and find out what's been going on out there. Well, here we are in my garden at home. And lots been going on over this last week here, actually. First thing we've noticed is Poppadom, one of my chickens. She's starting to lose a lot of feathers, which tells me she is going through the molt. Not uncommon at all, and it explains why we've had a reduction in egg production over this last week as well. Now, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm hoping to get some new chickens, so it's not the end of the world. But what I have also realised is this week celebrates 8 years since we first got our chickens. Bear and Grills were our first chickens, and Bear is still here with us. She's doing very well, I've got to say. Certainly goes to show these chickens are here for a long time, but boy, are they worth it in any vegetable garden, in my opinion. What we've really been focusing on this week, however, is getting our beds ready for spring. Spring is just around the corner. We're starting to see there are a lot of signs that spring is coming. Daffodils are flowering. We have got a tri-cornered leek popping up all over the place. We've been harvesting plenty of chard and purple sprouting broccoli. All these are signs that the weather is turning for the better. And to prepare the beds for spring, what I basically like to do is give them a good layer of mulch. Now, the mulch that I use is, of course, our fresh homemade compost, which I get out of our compost bins, almost emptying all our compost bins. But it means that this compost is spread all over our beds. Now, I add this to pretty much all of our beds after giving them a good hoe, of course. But one bed that I don't worry about adding compost to is what is going to be the brassica bed. Now, the reason I don't worry about compost in this bed is because compost can be a little bit acidic, which when we're adding lime to the soil, which is what I've been doing, can counteract the effects of lime. Basically, the two work in opposite directions when it comes to adjusting the pH, and means that they have an opposite effect and pull them back to the neutral. So I've not bothered mulching that bed with compost, but I've added lime to that soil. Added to that, all the other beds, I've also added a bit of blood, fish and bone and a bit of grow more as well, just to add a bit more nutrients to get the ground ready. I'm hoping that by doing this, it should get our beds off to a good start and add plenty of nutrients to those soil to get them really, really going. Added to that, what I've also done is I've placed my cloches over the beds to start warming the soil up as well. Clay soil, very difficult to get warm. So by adding these cloches, start to warm them up. And that means that we can start planting some of our seedlings and plants out here a little bit sooner. It's all about being efficient, all about getting it ready, and that is ultimately what I'm trying to do. Overall, though, I've got to say that the garden itself is coming along really nicely. Still a lot of areas I'm not happy with, but it is still not quite spring, and it's certainly coming together well. Now, we've also been sowing a few seeds, of course. Tomatoes I've sown, and I've pricked out some of our celeriac and celery ready to go into some of these beds later on as well. But looking around, our onion and our garlic are all growing well. Our chard is doing well. Everything here is doing exactly what I want it to do. It's soon going to be time that I can start potting some of our plants into the greenhouse, of course. And the greenhouse for me is an area that gets very, very untidy over the winter. I use it to store quite a few plants, but I need it to be more spacious so that I can pot plants into here and keep them warm. So I've had a good tidy up in there. I've got a metal potting up bench in there that I don't think I need in there anymore. It's still in there for the time being, but I'm doing more of my potting up inside my shed. That's working really nicely, actually. And I'm thinking this metal potting up bench could do with just going outside so I can do bits and pieces outside instead. That might happen in the future, which means that the greenhouse will then, once again, just become somewhere for plants and not for working in. It's amazing how when we adjust just one thing in our garden, in my case, turning my shed into somewhere for seed sowing, that it has a knock-on effect that frees up other areas or has a knock-on effect in other areas that you don't expect to happen. For this has been a good result. My greenhouse now becomes somewhere more for growing more food as opposed to working in. Right, well, I'm going to take Roxy, my dog, for a walk down to the allotment. And in the meantime, let's find out what's been going on in the supporters club. And let's find out what's came in to the mailbag this week. Well, I hope you are enjoying this podcast so far and find it to be some use. If you are, then please do consider rating and reviewing this podcast on your podcast provider. By rating and reviewing, you not only give me some really useful feedback that goes a long way to helping the shape of the future of this podcast, you also help other people discover this podcast who might be interested in growing their own food. And I think with the current economic situation, there's going to be a lot more people thinking about growing their own food. Now this week, Lynn once again has left us a couple of messages on Spotify, and on the podcast from Seedy Sunday, she really enjoyed it, but she also liked the idea of using currant bushes to create a fence. And that is one of the great things I love about sharing the ideas that we have. But on last week's podcast, she also said that the asparagus seeds that she has sown has germinated really well, and she's really, really happy with them. And thanks me a lot for that. And most welcome, of course. I think a lot of people are surprised just how easy it is to grow asparagus from seed after the discussions I've had over the last week. Now, Lynn did get some asparagus seeds in last month's gift pack from the Supporters Club because she is a member of our Supporters Club. And what we do in the Supporters Club, you get extra behind-the-scenes podcasts as well as a collection of seeds sent to your door every month that you are a member. And these seeds can be sown in that very month. Over this last week, we have sown a couple of seeds. We've sown Welsh onions, which is a type of perennial spring onion or salad onion. But we've also sown some Brussels sprouts, one of those vegetables that people love or hate, but is so commonly grown on our allotments or veg gardens. But if you would like to help support this podcast, then please consider becoming a member of our Supporters Club. Details are on the veggrowerpodcast.co.uk, but for just £5 a month, you get extra behind-the-scenes podcasts as well as a collection of seeds sent to your door each and every month that you are a member. It is, I think, great value, I've got to say, just £5 a month. If that is something you want to get involved in, then head to theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk to sign up. Now, I know that people are starting to think a bit more about gardening now because of the amount of communications I've had over this last week, be it email, through social media, or on our Speak Pipe service, our voicemail service. And because these are coming in, I thought it would be a good chance to go through some of these with you and discuss what they are saying. So, first of all, I had an email from Ellen. Her email reads, "Hello Richard, I hope you are well. Another year, another turmeric ginger harvest. Modest this year, similar to last year. The roots were really diving down. Not sure if they were hungry. I am boosting up my store-bought compost with worm castings and half a cup of organic chicken pellets. Rocket Grow peat-free multi-purpose this year. Last year was B&Q peat-free. Both have worked well in the past." I also include a growing hack for citrus. I bring in my citrus to a self-facing radiator off room every winter. I really don't like spending money on artificial lighting for an area 10 foot by 5 foot. So this year I rigged up 3 bamboo poles and hung a reflective silver emergency safety blanket. It has worked really well for less than £10. The trees are nice and green. I got good blossom and you can see 2 yellow yuzi fruit at the back. My neighbours think I'm a bit eccentric as they can see the trees and silver backing from the road. Sharing round the Tahitian limes and lemons wins them over. Always enjoy listening to your podcast. You have a good range of topics from gardening to chickens, cooking and days out. Kind regards, Ellen, Northamptonshire, East Midlands, and she's included a couple of photos. So last year, Ellen actually contacted me about her ginger and turmeric, which she grows in these large glass containers. I think they're like storm candle holders. They're pretty big. And in there, she grows a nice collection of ginger and turmeric each year, which she harvests and gets some really, really good harvests out of them. Something that I like to grow as well, ginger and turmeric, and it's something that we do grow a lot of, that wonderful, flavourful roots that we can use quite a bit in kitchen. I grow these every year now. What I did last year is I harvested a load of ginger, I planted a couple of pots back up, I brought another root from Wilko's, which unfortunately no longer exists, and planted that. And this year I have got so much ginger out of my pots, and I'm doing exactly the same, replanting more up so that I can hopefully get more ginger in the future. It's the same with turmeric. Both do really, really well. Now, when I say I replant them, what I do is just break off bits of roots I'm going to use and then replant a small bit of root that has what looks like a little nodule, a growing tip on it. I replant those, and it does seem to do quite well for me. But coming back to the citrus hack and using the silver emergency safety blanket, absolutely brilliant idea. It's often what grow houses are made of. Just using a bit of silver reflects the light all the way around. It's a great idea, and it's something that I am thinking about adding in certain areas of either my shed, my greenhouse, or even in my kitchen, just to try and reflect a bit more light and save on energy. I do use grow lights, as no doubt you know, but reflecting light works just as well. One of my previous ideas I had for this, however, was using an old bottle fridge that we might have that came out of a pub. You see them behind the bars where they keep all the alcoholic drinks in, and they're usually quite well lit. My idea, and I tried this last year and it just got a little bit too hot, but I think over winter it would still work quite well, or if it was in somewhere like a shed. My idea is to use this fridge, obviously turned off, but it reflects light because it's all made out of silver apart from the glass fronts at the front. But we could also change the light to be a grow light, so we could actually have this in a shed where it is insulated. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I'm going to try this again before I get rid of that bottle fridge. So great idea, completely a great idea. A nice cheap emergency blanket will work, of course, if that is something a little bit cheaper and you can't get hold of a fridge. Now, next comment came in from my good friend Stuart Jackson on the SpeakPipe, our voicemail service.
Hello Richard, it's Stuart Jackson. I just wanted to say, I've been catching up on the podcast as I'm on half term. And it is lovely to hear a podcast that actually says about their failures when you were talking about your asparagus, the mistakes you made. A lot of other podcasts just do the positive stuff. And it's so nice to hear other gardeners that say, yeah, I did it wrong. I've learned from it. Let's not do it again. Just wanted to say thanks and really enjoying the podcast, really enjoying Sunday lives. And the seeds are just an added bonus. Speak to you soon, mate. Thanks. Bye. Again, it's me again, Mitch Stuart Jackson. I just wanted to say as well that you're not only inspiring us sort of adults, the seeds that you send out inform me of what seeds to go to the garden centre and buy for school. So you're not just teaching me, who's then teaching a load of children. So I just wanted to let you know that you're not just inspiring a few adults or a couple of thousand adults. You know, I teach 32 children a day, and at least twice a week we garden. So you think of that as 64 children a week, 39 weeks in the school year. You teach a lot of children. So thank you and keep up the good work.
Always good to hear from Stuart Jackson. And of course, it's always good to hear from anything on our SpeakPipe service, our voicemail service. If you want to leave a voicemail just like Stuart did, just head to theveggrowpodcast.co.uk and down the side, you will see an option for leaving a voicemail. Click on that. It'll access your microphones. You just speak away. You've got about 90 seconds, I think it is. Leave a voicemail and it'll send that via email to me and I can play it back and do a few things with it. Now, on the second part of that message, Stuart says about teaching the children. I appreciate your feedback, that, and it really does lift me when I hear these sort of things. But I think the important thing to realise is that, Stuart, you are doing the teaching. You are inspiring the kids as well. I tend to stay away from the whole kids' gardening field, purely because I don't have children myself, and also my good friend Lee, who is very well known for kids gardening. That's his field. He's much better at it than I am. But to hear that really does help boost my ego a little, to make a joke. But it helps me realise just how powerful these podcasts are and how to keep going. Now, the first part of Stuart's message also said about sharing the mistakes. And I've always maintained that sharing mistakes is such an important part. I always believe that mistakes are where we learn the most from. In that example that Stuart gave, it's because I didn't prepare the soil for my asparagus well enough before planting, and I've learned from that. Quite often you might read in books or hear from people that you've got to do this and you've got to do that, but very rarely do you ever find out why. And this is one of the things that I love about what we do. We can experiment and try different things to say, yeah, that didn't work, that did work, and what's going on. Thank you for that feedback. And more importantly, I just think it's very, very important to not be afraid to make mistakes and talk about our mistakes. It's something I will always, always do on this podcast and in my life in general, because, as I say, it's where we learn the most. Now, my next message came through from Debbie, who direct messaged me on Instagram, and she's asking for some advice on growing chilies from seed. She actually sent me a video, and what I can see in the video, she has sown a wide range of varieties of chili seeds, and she's sown these in trays where you just fill up a tray with seed compost, prick a few holes, drop in a seed and let them grow. Done very well, I've got to say. All the seeds are at the seed leaf stage, which is the first stage of growth. Now, she's asking when should she pot these seedlings on, and I would actually say that to prick them out, I would wait until we start to see the true leaf start to show. So I'd wait until we get about 3 or 4 leaves. What happens when a seed germinates? The first leaves that they pot up are what's called the seed leaf, and these are there just to produce enough energy to get their roots growing. As the roots get stronger and the plant gets better and stronger, it starts to form its true leaves. To me, that's always a sign that they are safe to start pricking out and potting into their own pots. So wait until the true leaf are showing. She then asks me when to remove from the heat. These are in heated propagators. And I would actually also say again, when the true leaves are start to show, that's when I would look at removing them from the heat. So what I would do, prick them out into their own individual pots when the true leaves show themselves. Give them about a week on the heat just to make sure that the soil and everything is perfectly fine for them. And then they would take them off the heat. I would still keep them indoors somewhere fairly warm, because chilies are not very good in cold temperatures, and unless your greenhouse is heated, indoors is going to be absolutely fine. She also asks, how often do we water our chili seedlings when they are at the seedling stage? She uses a little water spray. So when it comes to watering, especially with seeds, it is very, very important that we do not overwater or underwater. In particular, underwatering, because there's not much energy in those plants, they are going to struggle if they run out of water. So it's very important to constantly keep the compost moist. So a little spray does work wonders. What I tend to do, I use a spray when I've just sown the seeds, and when they start to germinate, I then move them onto another tray, and I then water about once a week, maybe more, depending on how dry the base gets, from below. So what I mean by that is you would take your pot, you would pot it into a saucer. I would then pot water into that saucer so it soaks all that through the compost. But you got to remember, all these seedlings, all these seeds, they don't like sitting in water. So it's a case of making sure that there's just enough water in the soil to keep it damp, but not that it is sitting in water. I would say with a water spray, water daily, especially if they are on heated propagators. I do find heated propagators, of course, need a bit more watering. So make sure the compost doesn't dry out. Well, I think it's time to head down to the allotment. So let's find out what Chef Scott has for us this week while I head down to the allotment.
Hi, it's Scott here. And after listening to Richard talking about harvesting his purple sprouting broccoli on last week's podcast, it got me thinking that I really need to try grate myself this year. The idea of being able to harvest fresh greens this early in the year really appeals to me, especially when it's one of the tastiest greens we can grow. For me, it's up there with asparagus, and I often treat it like asparagus and make it the star of the show. And this week's recipe does just that, pairing the broccoli with flavours that will help it sing. And it is purple sprouting broccoli with salsa verde, crispy parma ham, parmesan and a poached hen's egg. It makes a lovely lunch, or if you wanted to make it more of a substantial meal, you could have potatoes and rocket. So, let's head to the kitchen and hear how it's made. This recipe serves four, and you will need 700 grams of purple sprouting broccoli, 6 slices of parma ham, 100 grams of shaved parmesan, 4 eggs, and for the salsa verde, 50 grams of finely diced white onion, 30 grams of chopped parsley, 10 grams of chopped tarragon, 10 grams of chopped mint, 40 grams of chopped capers, 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, 1 tablespoon of red wine vinegar, and 230 millilitres of olive oil. Method: start by making the salsa verde. Do this by mixing all the ingredients for the salsa verde together in a mixing bowl and season with salt and pepper. Now cook the broccoli. You can either chargrill it, steam it, or just boil it. And at the same time, you want to crisp your parma ham up in a moderate oven. Whilst this is happening, poach your eggs. Now that everything's ready, assemble on a plate and dress with a salsa verde and parmesan. And that's the recipe done. And that's it from me this week.
Well, Roxy and I have taken a walk down to the allotment. I can start bringing Roxy down a little bit more. I've had to train her to sort of stay within the allotment area and not go wandering off, which is tricky, especially when you want to do a few bits of work. But we've got there. I do have to watch her still because our neighbour has chickens and she sometimes let them out and they have a tendency to wander over to my plot and see what I'm doing. So I do have to be a little bit careful with Roxy because I don't know how she's going to react to my neighbour's chickens. Something to think about, isn't it? Anyway, what have we been doing today while we are on the allotment? One of the first things that I did was something I spoke of last week, and that was my new compost bin. Last week I said I had some fridge doors that I constructed roughly in to make a rectangle, but they weren't screwed into place. And today I have been screwing those to make a complete solid rectangle. This compost bin is 2 meters by 1 meter wide, which is a half decent sized compost bin. Not as big as the compost bin I have on the top, but because it is insulated fridge doors, it should hold on to some heat, and I've got a fifth door that I can put on the top as well, just to hold on to some of that heat as well. should mean that our compost is produced quite quickly and produces some decent compost. Hot bin composting, if you like. It's very exciting, I've got to say, but any time will tell to see if it works out. For me, it was more, I wanted a new compost bin and I wanted to make it out of recycled materials. This works quite nicely. Now, with that compost bin now constructed, I of course needed to fill it up with a few items as well for compostable material. So one of the things I needed to do was prune my autumn raspberries. It's February, of course, and that's when we tend to prune autumn raspberries. Now, my autumn raspberry bed is about 3 meters long and 1 meter wide. So what I do is simply take my hedge trimmer and cut all these raspberry canes down to about 15 centimeters off the ground. Take all that material and place it into my compost bin. Autumn raspberries do benefit from this good pruning, and that should mean that they will start soon producing more stems, which will lead to more autumn raspberries in the autumn. Cannot wait. Absolutely delicious thing to eat, but very, very exciting to say the least. But I still needed more, and as I was doing at home, it is really time to start preparing our beds for the spring. So what we had to do was go around all our empty beds and just hoe those all down, including the potato beds, and get those all ready for the growing season. I've raked up all the weeds and put those into the compost bin, of course. And the brassica beds, I've added a bit of lime just to start getting the lime into the soil ready for when we grow our cabbages and various things like that. The potato beds, I've covered those with black membrane. Now, I hate black membrane, in all honesty, because I find if it gets blown around, it does cause issues. So I've made sure I've weighed it down properly. But what I'm hoping to do with using this black membrane is it's just going to heat up the soil during the day, trapping in some of that heat, and mean that our potatoes get a better start. I'm on a clay soil, which is very difficult to really warm up in the spring. So just giving this a little bit of a head start will just help. Then on the top half of a plot, I've got a collection of Dalek compost bins, which I've filled up throughout last year. Well, I've emptied those. I spread some of the compost onto some of the empty beds at the top there, making sure that they are all ready for the growing season as well. And I've placed all loads of Dalek compost bins down by my new compost bin too, just making that into more of a composting area. Now, this means that all that compost is spread around. It proves to me that we did have just enough to get going this year, but it also proves that we need to produce more compost for next year. Usually, people will add compost over the winter, digging it in or laying it on top. But I was at an event last year, and Chris Collins from the Organic Gardening podcast and Blue Peter and various things like that, he suggested that we mulch in the spring when we're about to plant our plants, because that's when our plants need the nutrients. And that, to me, made a lot of sense. So it's not quite spring, I know, but I just thought we're going to do that now to get a bit of a head start. And it should mean that what happens over the winter when we get rain, which we've had over the last few days, of course, those nutrients do tend to get washed out of the soil. But if we're placing it in the spring, there's less chance for it getting washed out. So I think that makes a lot of sense to me. Don't know what you think of that, but let me know. So that is what we've been doing down on the allotment. New compost bins and spreading compost, getting the beds ready for spring. It is just around the corner, of course, so a lot of exciting things to come. Right, I'm going to head on home, so meet me in a podding shed and we will close up for this week. Well, we are approaching the end of this week's podcast, and each week I'm setting a little challenge or something for you to do that I want to hear about. And this week I'm thinking about our kitchens, specifically outdoor kitchens. So perhaps you have somewhere to make tea on your allotment, somewhere that you have a barbecue, or even a full-on outdoor kitchen. Whatever it is, I want to see photos, so please do share them with us. And of course, please do feel free to correspond with us just like all these people have done today. You can email me, richard@theveggrowlpodcast.co.uk. Very simple to remember, richard@theveggrowlpodcast.co.uk. You can contact me through social media as well. I'm on pretty much every platform. You can also visit the website at theveggrowlpodcast.co.uk. Leave a voicemail, just like Stuart did earlier, or leave a comment on the bottom of a blog post. Now, don't forget to please rate and review on your podcast provider, and also please consider becoming a member of our supporters club. Always happy to have more members. We will be back again next time, so until then, please take care.